Well, good evening, and it's always a privilege to share with you folks. It's an honor to get to do this, and I pray that the Lord will use what is shared to minister to your souls, to build you up, to strengthen you in Him, to strengthen me in Him. And what a blessed privilege we have to come together and consider the book of all books that God has given to us. Let's seek Him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are truly grateful to you that we can come and learn from the one who gave himself for us that we might have life and life more abundantly, who gave himself for us, sent his Spirit, who gave us a book that reveals you and gives us all we need for life and godliness. Use our time, please, Father, to strengthen us in you and to perform the ministries of your word, to convict, reprove, to teach in righteousness. We pray all this in Christ Jesus' name, and for any that have not trusted him, we pray that you would open their eyes to see how desperate they are, how close to judgment they are, and in need of you they are, that they might repent and find that peace that surpasses understanding. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Well, one of the things I wanted to mention is, isn't it true that we are sometimes, frankly, lots of times, so desirous or desperate for something? We want help so often. And maybe the help is we're trying to learn something, or we're struggling with something, and if we have a friend that's trustworthy to us, we're going to go to them. Have any ideas for me? I'm trying to learn. Well, I need direction in my life. I want to make a significant decision. And that friend recommends a book. And we run to the computer, click yes, send in, and we get it in 24 hours from Amazon, right? And we're like that in a lot of areas. We want to grow in our love for the Bible, and a friend says, get a Jerry Bridges book. And we get it, and it helps. Praise God for that man. We're struggling with chronic pain, and it just won't go away. And a brother or sister says, I heard a sermon on this that really comforted me. Check this out. Someone else says, I'm struggling with purity. I can't seem to overcome it. Oh, okay, well, here's something that could help you, or here's a counselor that you might want to talk with within the church. Somebody else is uncertain about their salvation, and we would say, well, come on Sunday mornings and listen to some messages out of the book of Hebrews, and you'll get a sense of what true security looks like. Somebody else says, I'm struggling with joy, and what do we do? Says, get a John Piper book. I mean, right away, that's the first place we're going to go. And it keeps going. Well, tonight we're going to take a very little look at a booklet. Just a booklet that addresses topics like the ones I've mentioned. And it teaches us how to persevere, for example, in times of trouble, as I'd mentioned, where somebody's struggling, or when we need wisdom, or when we're struggling with purity, or when we want to desire to grow in our love for the Lord, or we're feeling prayerless or empty, and we're truly wanting to follow Christ more and yet struggling. Or other times we're joyful and we want to see someone share that joy with us. Well, we'll look at that, a little booklet that talks about that. And more than any biblically sound book you own, as important as it might be, and there are many of them, you need this little bitty booklet. Are you ready to click? Well, thanks be to God that you already own it. And it's found in a larger set of books, all of which you need. And thanks be to God that you have them tonight, and they're free of charge. This little booklet is Psalm 119. Now, interestingly, when we hear that, we go, that's the largest psalm in the Bible. That's a big book. Wait a minute, it's actually a little booklet. And yet we can be very apprehensive because we look at its length compared to anything else in Scripture, and we also think, is this kind of repetitive? But I would offer that the more you familiarize yourself with this psalm, the more you'll see the repetition fades. It's gone. And the length is of no concern to you because this little booklet is so valuable. Because not like other booklets where you have to read maybe several paragraphs before you glean something, this one has something for you in every single sentence. Spurgeon said of this, "Other songs have been mere lakes, but this is the main ocean." He goes on to say, "It is a continent of sacred thought, every inch of which is fertile as the garden of the Lord." He had a rich or a deep reverence for this psalm. And it even caused him to be a little apprehensive when he wrote his commentary. And here I am preaching about it. But it's a masterpiece. It consists of 22 stanzas, each of which, the 22 stanzas, I should say, represent the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Each verse in a given stanza starts with the same letter of that alphabet. So for us, our ABCs, our first stanza of 8 verses would start with A, every verse would. And the second stanza would start with B, and all the verses would. So it's all designed, it could be a beautiful memory system for the Hebrew people. And it still is for us, given the way it's divided up. So it's wonderfully designed. It talks primarily, as you know, its theme is Scripture. But it isn't a treatise on the Bible like a systematic theology book. No, this is far different. And that can lead us at first to stay away, thinking, will this be kind of dry? Not at all. And there are at least 9 words that we find in here to describe the Word of God. They're commandments, judgments or rules in the ESV, law, ordinances, precepts, statutes, testimonies, and ways, and word. And when we look at the psalm, it's clear that the word for the psalmist, it was not as though he was worshiping the Bible. No, he was worshiping the God of the Bible, but he was worshiping him based on that written revelation of God that he had, in which he found the most trustworthy account of what his God was really like. And he loved the Bible so much that he talks and talks and talks about it because it was that which encouraged him, it was that which strengthened him. It instructed him, it guided him, it gave him counsel and wisdom, as I'd mentioned before, when we seek help. And so he also prayed, and why did he pray related to Scripture so much? Because he understood that that's the source that God uses as the center in answering our prayers. He uses his thoughts in answering our requests. So the psalmist went quickly to Scripture. Can we have our light lowered a little, please? That would be great, if possible. And I believe in looking at this psalm, and we're just doing a brief overview, that there's a principle here, a principle you can hold on to. And that's that God's people joyfully persevere only through reliance on his word. God's people joyfully persevere only through reliance on his word. Now, if we want to look at this from a divine perspective on the other side of things, God sustains us through his word. It is the Lord who sustains us, and he uses that book, including that little booklet inside of it, to sustain us. But for us, we joyfully persevere as believers in a hard life in which Jesus said the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. We do it through reliance on this book, which means reliance on the author of it. And this is the book by which the psalmist persevered. Now, there are a variety of ways in which he did this. And if he had the book of Moses, or the Pentateuch primarily, that he loved so much, how much more do we have? The whole divine inspired word, including the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have it all, beloved. This is a thrill to own this. The gospel is there, so much more. So it is amazing that the psalmist had this heart that he had. He did have many, many riches. We have just a gold mine. So let's look at some ways that he persevered and relied on God's word. We'll see that he did it through his doctrine, through his supplications, through his meditations and his affections. His doctrine, his supplications, his meditation, and his affections. And yes, that's the outline. First, we'll see the doctrine of the Word of God. The foundation of the psalmist's prayers and thoughts and affections is found in his view of Scripture. He strongly believed in what we would call today the inerrancy, the sufficiency, the clarity, the authority, and the necessity of the Word of God. He would have been right there signing the Chicago Statement. And he had a degree. It was in practical theology. But he didn't learn it from, say, an institution. He learned it in the school of suffering, where the scriptures were all he had, and he had to rely on them. And as he did so, he found them sufficient. He found them needed. He found them authoritative, and he realized they were given by none less than God himself. The author was a theologian. And he was one par excellence. For example, in verse 89, he says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly established in the heavens." Or in verse 130, he says, "The unfolding of your words give light. They impart understanding to the simple." He believed that the Bible was clear and could be understood. In verse 178, he says, "My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right." He believed in the purity of God's word, the accuracy of God's word. And then there's a pinnacle statement he makes in verse 160 of the psalm, where he says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." Kind of sounds like the Lord Jesus in his high priestly prayer in which he prays that God would sanctify his disciples in the truth. Why? Because your word is truth. Christ is seen, and we'll see as we go through this psalm and in future months, he's seen throughout this psalm. So it's the psalmist's convictions about the word of God, his doctrine, it's regarding its substance that caused him then to have the hearts that, or the heart that we're going to see here later on. And brothers and sisters, tonight, this word of God that you have, including this little booklet, it is pure. You can trust it more than any booklet you'll buy. It is absolutely trustworthy as your counselor and trustworthy as your comforter. Hold fast to it. Find your confidence in it more and more, and find Jesus Christ in it. Love it like the psalmist did. Well, let's see, secondly, that he relied on the word of God through prayer. Prayer in the word of God, we will see here. And in Psalm 119, prayer just saturates the psalm. Really, it's primarily a prayer is what it is. It's not a dissertation on scripture in and of itself. It's a prayer. All kinds of prayers. And that's where we see more than anything else the psalmist's reliance on God in order to persevere and remain strong in the Lord. And he had all kinds of things that he prayed about. Prayer, though, was the word of God was always at the center of his prayers. And he prayed for things like God to revive him, for God to strengthen him. He prayed for God to keep him from wandering away from that very law that he loved. He prayed for God to teach him, for God to vindicate him, for God to comfort him, and much more, just like we do. We have the same needs. What's wonderful is this psalmist went to a book and he saw the riches in that book, so he prayed based on that book. And so regardless of whatever the particular scenario he found himself in, he still came to the word of God. He praised things like, with my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. He didn't want to go away, but he knew the frailty of his heart. He understood. He prayed, open my eyes, that I may behold wonderful things from your word, out of this glorious law that you've given, Father. He prayed. Because he knew that's where he would find the things he needed. Or in verses 33 and 34, he prays, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Lord, only if you teach me am I able to obey, he's saying. And he says, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. So we see there's a variety of prayers throughout the psalm. And one place he says, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. He is absolutely flabbergasted and on his face, just often as King David was, though he may not have been the author here. And he was desperate for God's help. And what did he pray? Revive me according to that book which I know revives your people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a little booklet on this booklet, and he said in it, the only way to read the Psalms is on your knees in prayer. And there's truth to that. Take this psalm and make it a prayer guide. And may the prayers contained in this psalm increasingly be ours. And may we find really greater and greater reliance on God through His Word as we pray to Him. So we've seen how the doctrine and the Word of God, prayer and the Word of God, were used as a means by which David relied on God and persevered. And now we'll look at letter C, meditation on the Word of God. Not only did the psalmist pray often, but his mind was often preoccupied with the Word of God. He thought about it and thought about it. And he did so at night. He did so sometimes all the day. And he did it in the good times and in the bad times. He didn't just think of the Bible when things were going well and he went to a Bible study. He thought of the Bible in terrible circumstances. And his thoughts of God that are revealed in the Scriptures thrilled him sometimes. He was overwhelmed, and it caused him to praise God 7 times a day, he says. And other times, he knew he was in desperate straits. For example, in praising God, he says, I will lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. I'm going to think about these because I love them. And his meditation on Scripture also strengthened him. It stabilized him. It kept him going in horrible times when he was facing danger. In verse 23 of the Psalms, of that psalm, he says, even though princes sit together, princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. So even then, when he knew men were making plans to harm him, God's word was the place he went to increase his understanding and understand God's ways. And he could therefore even say, as a theologian, as he thought on the Lord in times that weren't as dramatic, in verse 99, he says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. If we're going to persevere in this life as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to do so with our minds. And if we're going to do so with joy, we need to really use our minds. We need to obey the kinds of things Paul tells us, to keep seeking those things which are above, to set our minds on things above. What are those things above? Is Paul telling us think primarily about heaven and good things there? As wonderful as that is, no, he isn't. He's saying keep seeking Jesus Christ. And where do we find him? In this book. And we can only know true joy, friends, when our thoughts are fixed on the author of joy, the giver of joy. Otherwise, we'll be all over the place in our ramblings. And when we're suffering and those struggles just won't go away and they linger on and linger on and we're tired, we can only endure if we think on God's promises, on the comforts that we find throughout the scriptures that minister to our soul, that hold us up. How many times have I been comforted by Isaiah's words, even though they're directed to the Israeli people as a nation, they apply when he says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In times of trouble, that has brought me incredible consolation. So the psalmist joyfully persevered by relying on God's word in his beliefs, in his doctrine, in his prayers, his meditations, and lastly, we'll see in his affections on the word of God. And here we see God's heart, I should say the hearts of the psalmist toward his Lord. And this is what kept him going. He loved the word of God, and he depended on the word of God. And again, whether in good times or bad times. And if we truly prize it and seek it and find Jesus Christ in it, we're going to increasingly want more of it. In verse 24 of the psalm, he says, "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." He loved them. They gave him counsel. That book was a treasure to him. And in verse 72, he says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Now, if we were offered 10 grand tonight, it would be interesting. We'd probably have a wrestling match in our mind there as far as would we choose this verse or that. But for him, it was better. In verse 97, he says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." He was ecstatic about this word of God. And he says in verse 92, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." The reason he loved this law is because he knew that without it, he could not persevere in reliance on God and his word. He couldn't survive. So he loved it and he ate it up. Matthew Henry observes that those who know and love the law of the Lord desire to know more and to love it better. And this is the affection that we see in the psalmist's heart. So those are just examples from the psalm of how he persevered through reliance on it, on the word of God. So how can we apply this? What can we do to grow in our reliance on the word of God? Well, first of all, I would say use it in wonderful ways by reading this little booklet. First of all, let it instruct you and minister to you in prayer. There are so many simple prayers that you can bring before the Lord that are profound at the same time. And use it to grow in learning to meditate on God as revealed in Scripture. Observe how the psalmist did it. Run to it when you're suffering trials and struggles. When tears come and you don't know what to do, run to this little psalm and pray the way the psalmist prayed and pour out your heart to God. Let God use it also to increase your love for his word as you see the beautiful things spoken about it. and pray that God would use this booklet found in His Word to enable you to persevere with joy as you rely on His Word given to you. Read a stanza a day. It's only 8 verses, not much. Or read a verse a day and give it thought. Don't tear out through it. And if you do that, you'll read the psalm twice a year. Now, most of us wouldn't have imagined we would do that. Just a verse a day. And you'll be amazed at how it will infect you, and you will love the rest of the Bible more and go to it more. So before you buy your next book and click yes on the continuing Black Fridays, right, that just go all month, that I keep using for my next book, before you do it, especially a book that addresses something spiritual, first open this little booklet and let it minister to your soul. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for what you have given us, including, Father, this unique psalm that expresses our heart so well. And I pray that you would use it to minister to your people here, and to my soul as well. Use it, God, please, in our prayers and our thinking and in our affections, Lord, and in our beliefs. May we hold it fast, please, in Christ's name. Amen.